Kindle in us the fire of thy love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Sometimes a story can serve to kindle in us the fire of God's love as we meditate on the mysteries of Mary's Rosary with the help of the Holy Ghost. For many years, I worked with Father, now Bishop Clarence Kelly, in New York. And I remember once, this was years ago, him telling me a story about his own childhood in Brooklyn, New York. He was what the Orthodox Jews, who shared the neighborhood with Catholics, would call a Shabbos Goy, which means a Sabbath Gentile. They translate Goy or Goyim as Gentile, but actually I think it has a rather unpleasant connotation. In any case, Orthodox Jews would not light their stove on the Sabbath day. So they would hire little Christian children to come in and to do that for them. And so as not to touch either the matches or a Christian, they would have the matches laid out on the stove in the morning before they went walking to their synagogue. And so little Clarence Kelly would go in on a Saturday morning and he would strike the match and light the old-fashioned stove. They'd have a nickel there for him, too, and he would pocket his nickel, and off he would go, having done them some little service. The Jews had to do this, of course, because they follow the superstitions of their rabbis concerning the Sabbath observance found in their sacred book, the Talmud. This was the era before pilot lights came to stoves, and it illustrates, I think, a truth. They weren't allowed to, light it for themselves. You can't possibly light it, your heart, for yourself. We, all of us, on a damp, chill day in our darkness, we all of us need some source of warmth and of heat and of light. We need someone to come in and strike the match. And this someone is God, the Holy Ghost. But we must prepare his way. Something is required of us. We have to, at the very least, leave the door open. We have to get the matches out. Oh, and don't forget the coin. Some little offering or sacrifice, too, is part of your preparation so that the Holy Ghost may come. So if you are meditating on the third glorious mystery, as we should all of us be today at Holy Mass, you could just stay with that thought of an old-fashioned gas stove, such as many of you would remember. But then consider the era when the stove with the pilot light came in. How much more easily things were done now in the kitchen. The flame was always there and waiting at your fingertips. Consider the light which Almighty God intends and does indeed give to every family, a light which is made in some special sense in the image and likeness of God, the Holy Ghost, a light which is fed by love and is meant to be in his plan permanent and persevering in every home. I speak of God the Holy Ghost represented, symbolized by the mother in the family. Pope Pius XI taught that if man is indeed the head of the family by ruling, the woman is the heart of the family by loving. and she claims for herself the chief place of love. In her love, a mother spends herself, self-sacrificing love, for the service of others. It is a love which is always there. It is not consumed except by love, and it is a love which never counts the cost any more than you would when you go and you turn the stove on to warm something up. She, if mother will, persevere in prayer with Mary, our blessed mother. She will be able to lead a life of devotion and of peace, and a life which will lead to very great holiness in her sublime vocation in life. So, sometimes, when you are saying the third glorious mystery, just think about that. Consider the role of the mother in the home, like a pilot light, and then that light would make you think of the Holy Ghost, never to go out, never to be extinguished. Pray for your own mother, living or deceased. Thank God that He gave you such a mother. Pray for your mother that she may be close to God, the Holy Ghost. And then pray for all mothers, because motherhood is so much under attack today, and motherhood is held in so little honor and esteem today. One possible way of meditating this mystery. Another is to stay with that same thought, the role of the mother, and to turn to our Blessed Lady. Consider that twice in two mysteries of the Rosary, the Holy Ghost came down upon Our Lady at the Annunciation to form the Son of God, Jesus Christ, in her Immaculate Heart, and at Pentecost to form all of us, the brethren of our Blessed Lord, in the heart of the Church, which is also her own loving and sorrowful heart. She, this good, good mother, keeps all of us there where we need to be, in the heart of the Holy Ghost. Consider that the role of a mother is to form, to mold her children. And she does that best by the power of the Sanctifier, by her Son's own Spirit, the Holy Ghost. And she does this perfectly if only she will stay with Mary and she will pray with Mary. In order to meditate on the mystery of Pentecost, one could, of course, simply go through the story itself, its preparation, the first novena, 9 days of prayer with Our Lady. What a blessed scene that must have been in the upper room where the Last Supper was conducted, the first Mass offered. Consider all of the quiet. Consider the recollection of that scene all the way through Pentecost morning. And then, all of a sudden, comes a loud noise, louder than the rain on our roof or a storm here in Westchester. That wind which warns and announces the coming of the Comforter, God the Holy Ghost. Suddenly, there appears over our Blessed Mother, a huge ball of glowing fire. And then that fire separates into tongues, and the tongues of fire fall over the apostles, over the disciples, and over the holy women who had faithfully followed our Lord. It lights up their faces, and they look up. There was a little girl at confirmation yesterday who must have gotten a little confused. Sometimes the C sacraments are difficult to keep straight. And I think she was rather expecting to receive communion, because she looked up at me and she opened her mouth and she was going to put out her tongue. Well, that is exactly what the apostles did on Pentecost. They opened their mouths as though thirsting for the divine love. And then that tongue of fire over their head went into their mouth. And then they started to speak with tongues, which means that each one of them spoke a different language, or perhaps that regardless of the language of their hearers, when they went out to preach the gospel that morning, everyone understood them, as the epistle has just told us, in his own language in which he was born. That was on the outside. And then on the inside, those hearts which had been so insecure and so worried and so fearful and then feeling pretty guilty about what they had done on Good Friday, now, confidently, they sally forth with every assurance of their apostolic authority. They preach Jesus Christ and him crucified and risen again. And the apostles are not only strong and confident, they are overcome, almost intoxicated with joy. And then look at Our Lady as you're doing this mystery. There she sits. She is serene. She is calm. Amidst all of this noise and carrying on. But she loves our Lord, if you can imagine it, as never she has loved him before by the power of the Holy Ghost. Some 3,000 converts are made in one day. The infant church is born. The Holy Ghost is its soul, and Mary, its nursing mother. Each member of that new church, whether the apostles or the converts, instinctively turns to Mary, and they go to her to hear from her own lips, as you may when you pray the rosary, all about her son. Pentecost. It is the birthday of the church. Now consider this. It is still the same essentially as it was that first Pentecost Sunday. Mary has not changed. Her son has not changed. The Catholic Church, despite what they say, has not changed. What was natural to do in the early days is natural now still for us, every one of us, and is essential if we are going to keep the supernatural spirit of our faith. We go to our mother, and we stay with her. A last thought this Mother's Day and birthday of Holy Mother Church would be, when you're meditating this mystery, to consider the Holy Ghost and the Church. The Third Glorious is an occasion for you to reaffirm your faith in the Catholic Church, which is so much denied today. This mother is dishonored not only by those who openly rebel against her, oh, but how she is offended, how she is ill-served by the children who cling to the old Mass and so many of the old doctrines. They should be the most loyal and loving children of Holy Mother Church, but alas, they are not. They hold that this mother could lead her children into error and feed us poison of doctrine or false sacraments, or give us a pope, a vicar of Christ, who would do the same thing. Oh no, what confusion. How much we need the Holy Ghost to straighten this whole mess out and to save us all from the tentacles of the Antichrist and his false religion. Reaffirm your faith in the Catholic Church as our Lord has constituted her as you pray this mystery. She is immaculate. She is infallible. She is the spotless bride of Christ, and she can never lead us into error. That is a false religion which we rightly reject. So then, to summarize, the Third Glorious Mystery, when you come to it, look for a link think maybe of some story that you might recall. Remember, we need someone to kindle in us the fire of God's love, as those Jews did on their Sabbath day. And that someone is the Holy Ghost, but you must do your part. You have to leave the door open, and you have to prepare things and make some sacrifice, at least a little bit. Or consider your mother and the Blessed Mother, how they are both of them in different ways like the Holy Ghost, how Our Lady formed Christ in her heart, and now she forms Christians in her heart. Or simply go through the story of what happened. Who are the characters who were there? Peter, for example, who had denied Christ thrice. Now he is constituted as the chief of the church. What were the sounds of Pentecost? The sights. What was seen? What were the effects on the outside? The babble of the noise, all those sermons, different languages, and the interior confidence and joy and deep faith. The church, last of all, consider the church. Reaffirm your belief in her infallibility. Offer to the Holy Ghost reparation for all of those who deny this truth and should know better. Ask the Holy Ghost today, as you meditate this mystery at this Mass of Pentecost, to come in, to light the stove. There are many souls and there are many families who are dispirited, who are gathered around some dark, damp, unfriendly stove, shivering in the chill. The pilot light seems to have gone out. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.